And as I've thought about this, I've been very excited about the book of Jonah. And my goal, or one of my goals, is that over the next several weeks as we go through this book, that by the time we're done, you won't think that Jonah's just about a big fish anymore. There's so much that goes on in this story. It's very exciting. God demonstrates his mercy to so many people and demonstrates his sovereignty. There's a couple of themes that are in this book that we're going to see again and again, and that's what they are: God's sovereignty and God's mercy. He is sovereign. God is sovereign over the events in history. Sovereign over the events in history. And so we're going to see throughout this book that God is sovereign over the weather. Now, we won't see it this week, but we know that Jonah gets on a boat, right, and he's running away from God, and God sends a storm. So God is in control of the creation that he has made. He's in control of the wind and the rain. At the end of the book, he sends the sun and the wind there, the heat, when Jonah is sitting out there on top of a hill waiting for Nineveh to be destroyed. God is in control of the creatures that he has made. So God sends a whale, or sends a great fish to come and swallow Jonah. And he sends a large plant at the end when it gets really hot outside. Jonah's sitting there on top of the hill. God shows mercy to Jonah. He sends a plant that gives him shade to sit under for a period of time. But then God sends a worm to eat the plant. To destroy the plant that God had made. So God is in control of his creatures in creation as well. God brings salvation to individuals through the events that he does order. So he brings salvation to the sailors in the ship. He brings salvation to Jonah. He brings repentance to the city of Nineveh. And so God oversees everything. So it's a major theme throughout this story that God is the sovereign king over the creation that he has made. It is his world. And so as we progress through this book, I hope that truth will comfort you as you learn God's ways through Jonah. But God is also merciful. He's merciful. And he makes it clear throughout this book. He shows mercy. He shows mercy to pagan sailors. Now, these sailors didn't even know what was going on. This guy gets on the boat down below. He goes to sleep. The storm comes. God uses Jonah's disobedience to give mercy to pagan sailors who were on the boat with him. He shows mercy to the citizens and the animals of a foreign city. So the way the book closes, God says, should he not show mercy to 120,000 people? And then he says, and their cattle. So God is concerned even about the animals that he has made, and he shows mercy to them. But most of all, God shows mercy to a man named Jonah. And so this book makes it clear that God will use the circumstances and the events of your life to show you your sinful heart. And that's what he does with Jonah. He uses Jonah's circumstances to show to him that he needed God's mercy. And we're going to see that God will go through great lengths to do that very thing so that this man will repent. And Jonah gets upset that God would show mercy to others who he doesn't think deserves it. But he's unaware of how much he needs God's mercy himself. So let me read the first few verses of Jonah. That's all we're going to cover today. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this word. We thank you for Jonah, Lord, for his eventual willingness to go and do what you called him to do. But God, even through his disobedience, we're going to see that you order the events of men's lives, Lord, to bring them to repentance, to see that they need you. And Jonah was a man who needed you supremely. And Lord, we need you this morning. We need you to teach us your word. We pray that your spirit would move in this place, that you would break down the walls that bring hardness to our hearts, that you'd melt them with your mercy, and that you'd draw us close to you. We thank you this morning for this opportunity. Lord, help us, each one of us, to apply what you have for us in this book. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this book doesn't tell us who wrote it, but it does tell us who it's about, who the primary character is. And it is Jonah, the son of Amittai. He's mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, but just one place. It's 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. He lived in the time of King Jeroboam. This was the 8th century B.C. So this was in the 700s B.C. And the verse in 2 Kings tells us that that Jonah was a prophet. And the prophecy that he made was that the borders of Israel would be expanded during the time of King Jeroboam. There's nothing else in the Old Testament that mentions him. Nothing else in the Old Testament that mentions his ministry or his life. But even from this very short verse in 2 Kings, we see that Jonah knew God. He knew God. He heard his word, and he was used by God to bring forth his word to a people. So we don't know if the events in the book of Jonah are before or after what was written in 2 Kings, but obviously it was not uncommon for God to speak through and use this man. But what was uncommon was for a prophet of God to receive the Lord's word, not give it, turn, and go in the opposite direction. That was uncommon. And that's what we see here in Jonah. And why he did this gets unfolded for us a little bit more clearly as the story goes on. But in short, Jonah does not like the Ninevites. He did not want to bring God's word to this people because he knows that God is merciful, and he does not want them to receive the mercy of the Lord or the grace of God because of who they were, how brutal they were against God's people. So Assyria, the country that Nineveh was in, this was Israel's greatest enemy at the time. And they were known for their brutality. And eventually, not long after Jonah's story, the Assyrians would come in, they'd invade the northern kingdoms of Israel, they'd carry some people off, they'd come back in, they would intermarry with God's people, and eventually that's how the Samaritans came to be. So we read about the Samaritans in the New Testament when Jesus had his ministry. This is where they came from, the Assyrian kingdom, the Ninevites, and the captivity they brought to God's people. So Jonah knew about how evil this people were. And God certainly knows how evil they were. And he says in verse 2, their evil has come up before me. So the Lord looks down, he sees Nineveh, and he sees the wickedness of this city. We have three verses that we're covering this morning, and if anything is clear from them, it is this. God gave Jonah a task, and Jonah ran from God. So God gave Jonah a clear task. He says, go to Nineveh, and Jonah doesn't go. Jonah turns and goes in the opposite direction. And we can see from these verses that Jonah was running from two different things. Two things Jonah was running from, and the first was God's word. Jonah ran from God's word. Now, it's possible, and it's happened in my own home, probably it's happened to you and yours if you have had children, that every now and then you will tell them something that they don't want to hear, and they know it's coming. And so what do? You know, they try to make it possible for them not to hear. They cover up their ears, they put their fingers in their ears, maybe they make some noises so they don't hear what their parent is saying in anticipation of something happening that they don't want to happen. So that's possible in my house. It's probably been possible in yours, though it's not very welcome. That was not possible for a prophet of God. So the prophet of God might try to stop up his ears or cover up his head or put his head underneath the pillow. It didn't matter. He was going to hear the word of the Lord. And so when it came to him, he heard it. There's nothing he could do about it. And usually the prophet was compelled to do what God told him to do. He was compelled to do so. Let me give you an example of how this normally worked as we see it in the Old Testament. It's from Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah lived about 150 years after Jonah, and he was a prophet to Jerusalem in anticipation of the Babylonians coming in, overrunning the city, and carrying those people off into captivity. And this is what he said in chapter 20. As he receives the word of the Lord, this is what he says goes on the inside. He says, if I say I will not mention him, or speak anymore in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. So Jeremiah is saying that when he receives the word from God, it's as if God sets him on fire on the inside, and he must speak. He must do what God tells him to do, or it's like he's going to internally combust. He's going to explode. He was compelled by God to say and do everything that he was told to do. Well, not just really in the Old Testament, though. We also see this in the New. And so when the Apostle Paul receives the gospel, he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." So Paul feels as though it's almost as if he's going to die. If I don't speak what God says, I may just die. It has to come out. It has to. The word would grip the prophet's mind. It would grip their conscience. And whatever the Lord told them, it had to be done. But not here with Jonah. It's not what we see with him. He gets the word from the Lord and he turns away from it. It wasn't something that was sweet to him. If you've read the book of Ezekiel, you know that God gave him a scroll and he said, "Eat the scroll," and Ezekiel did, and he said it was sweet in his mouth, and he had to speak the words of the Lord. Not Jonah. It wasn't sweet to him. It didn't melt his heart. He didn't feel compelled to obey it. As a matter of fact, Jonah got on a boat, and we're going to see next week, when he went down in the boat, he went fast asleep. He laid down and was knocked out. Obviously didn't feel too compelled to do much of anything except run from the Lord. And I believe this morning, if we're all honest, we'd say that we can relate to Jonah. He knew the right thing to do. He knew what God wanted him to do. But he turned and went the opposite direction. And in his mind, Jonah, I'm sure, had a pretty good excuse for rejecting this command from God. I think he probably was thinking something like this. You know, those people in Nineveh, God, you know how they are. You see what they're doing down there. And you want me to go and talk to them? Oh, surely not, God. You don't want to have mercy on those people. You see how evil and wicked they are. As a matter of fact, God, you know what they're going to do. They're going to come, they're going to carry our people away. They're already brutalizing us here. So no, God, I don't think it's right for me to go there. They don't deserve your mercy. They don't deserve your grace. I think I'm going to go somewhere else. This is what sin does to our hearts, doesn't it? It distorts our view of ourselves. It makes us see ourselves a little differently than God sees us. It distorts our view of other people, so we don't see other people quite right. It also distorts our view of God. We don't see Him clearly. We don't understand Him properly when sin gets in the way. And so in Jonah's case, sin led him to believe that he and his country, the Israelites, were worthy of salvation. They were worthy of grace, and others were not. And somehow, God just had it wrong. God had it wrong. Has your sin ever led you to think too highly of yourself? Too highly of yourself and maybe just a little bit too low of other people? I think the youngest person in the room this morning can relate to this on some level. You know, I think we've probably seen small children and how they relate to each other. When there's a toy that one of them wants, one child will take the toy from another and feel fully justified in doing so. They wanted it. They deserved it. That was mine. Mine, just one of those early words that a kid learns, right? Mine. Obviously not theirs. But what happens when that child has the toy taken back from them? They cry, they scream foul, they get upset. That wasn't fair. They took it from me, right? School kids learn early on to gossip or to bully because they want to rise above somebody else. They want to place themselves a little higher than another person. Adults can relate to this too. You know, backbiting, gossip, slander, racism, bigotry, these things are all just byproducts of elevating oneself over another person or group of people. And let's not think it can't happen in the church either. Have you ever thought, or at least acted maybe in a way, that you were deserving of God's grace, but those bad people, whoever those people are, maybe it's your neighbor, or maybe it's that religious group that's on the other side of the world, that you deserve God's mercy, you deserve His grace, because you're a pretty good person, right? But those people, oh, they're not deserving of it. Look what they do. Look how they act. They deserve God's judgment. And so do you think when God gave this word to Jonah and he said, arise and go to Nineveh, do you think that God knew exactly what Jonah needed to hear when he said that? Do you think that God knew what was going on inside of Jonah's heart? And he knew the exact word that he needed to give this man to expose him to his sin? Now, have you ever been reading the Bible before? Or maybe you were listening to a song on the radio. Maybe you were here worshiping and you heard a word from God and you knew at that moment that was exactly what you needed to hear. And you knew God had sent it to you to comfort you, to help you, to encourage you during that time. I'd say most people in this room this morning can relate to that in some way. God was like a loving parent and He picked you up and He comforted you in your time of need. Just like a parent does with a child when they're hurt. And right then in that moment, it's like God was very real to you. He was very personal. His love was real. You knew God cared. Imagine that same parent observing that child over time, watching how he or she acts, and he sees that this child is unloving toward other people, unkind, ungracious, has a hardness of heart. And the parent, instead of coming with a word of comfort during that time, comes to that child with a word of correction. Tells that child exactly probably what they don't want to hear. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to be faced with their failure. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you before? That God showed you something about yourself that you'd rather not face? Or maybe you were hurt by somebody. They said something that hurt your feelings or did something. And instead of breathing life into the conversation, you breathed fire into it, and your words destroyed. Or maybe you blamed other people for your anger, or maybe for your addiction issues, whatever it was. You know, God spoke. God spoke to you. He confronted you with this word of correction, and you didn't want to see it, so you turned and you walked the other way. I don't want to deal with that right now. I don't want to face that. Don't want to mess with that. That's a hot spot. That's an anxious issue. So you said, I'm not going to listen to the Lord. And I think that's what's happening with Jonah right here. God knew this man better than he knew himself. And the God who loved Jonah would not leave him the way that he was. And that is how God is with us. He knows what every person in this room needs. He knows every word that you need spoken to you, whether it's a word of comfort or a word of correction. And God will not leave you the way that you are because he loves you too much. And so he shows in this story the great lengths that he's going to go to try to reach this one man. Yeah, he reaches the Ninevites and he touches the sailors along the way, but he is pursuing Jonah. And God will pursue you this morning. And he wants you to hear his word. So like the good parent, God gives Jonah a word he needs to hear. And Jonah doesn't want to hear it, and so he runs. I know this morning that you are physically in a church. I can look out and see you. You can look side to side and see each other. So we know where everybody is. You are in a church this morning. And maybe on the outside, everything seems okay. You know, you show up. Everybody seems excited to be here. You got a happy smile on your face. But nobody knows what each person is dealing with when you leave or before you got here. So you know that you got to put on that smile for a couple hours. And then you get to go back to life the way that it was. On the inside. Not the way you're looking on the outside, but on the inside. Are you running from God's word in any way? Are you somehow on your figurative ship to Tarshish? You know that God desires for you to do something. You know what His will is for your life. And instead of facing it, you have turned from it and are running the opposite direction. Well, you need to hear this morning that whenever God's word comes to you, whether it is for comfort or for correction, whatever He desires for you to know, it is for your good. It is for your good. And we need to receive God's word as such, no matter how it comes to us. So not only was Jonah running from God's word, Jonah was running from God's presence. He was running from God's presence. And so twice in these three verses, we're told that instead of going where God wanted him to, Jonah fled to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He was running in the opposite direction of where he thought the presence of the Lord was. It's now, let's not forget here that, or not think that Jonah had forgotten that God was everywhere, all at one time. So Jonah would have known very well Psalm 139. He would have known that the prophet said, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." So it's not as if Jonah thought that he could escape God's omnipresence, his everywhereness. So Jonah knew that God was everywhere all at the same time. He could see everywhere. His presence would be everywhere. I think what Jonah was running from is what our forefathers would call God's felt presence. His felt presence. He wanted to get away from the place where God was calling him to, the place where he could feel him the most. God's will was for Jonah to be in Nineveh, and Jonah wanted to get as far away from possible from Nineveh as he possibly could. So this text tells us that he packed up his stuff. He got on a boat that was going to Tarshish. And we believe that Tarshish is probably at the opposite end of the Mediterranean Sea. So Jonah just says, "I'm going to get on a boat. I'm going to try to get as far away from God as I possibly can. I'm just going to head on out." And he goes as far away as he can. And there is a principle hidden in the brilliant writing of the author of Jonah. I hope as we get through it, you see that the way this book is even written is amazing. Whoever wrote it had an amazing grasp on his language. So notice the direction here. Notice the direction here where running from God's presence leads Jonah. It's always leading him down. Always leading him down. So running from God's presence leads downhill. So Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down into the boat. Later, the sailor's going to throw him overboard. Jonah is going to go down in the water into the belly of the fish. And when Jonah can't get any further down, he cries out to God for mercy. So it's as if Jonah's life is a downward spiral until he comes to his senses and he cries out to God and asks him to do what only God can do. "Have mercy on me, God, and save me." So it's no mistake that when Jonah decided to flee from the Word and the presence of God, his life would lead downhill until he cried out to God. So maybe right now, you find yourself running from the presence of God. You find yourself running from His will for your life, and you wonder why things seem to be on a downward spiral for you. Things just haven't been working out quite like you had expected. Now realize that God is looking to bring you to your senses. He's looking to bring you to your senses through the events and the circumstances of your life so that you will cry out to Him for mercy. And realize that doing things in your own strength, in your own power, in your own way, your own direction, those aren't working out so hot right now. So maybe I need to wake up. Maybe I need to come to my senses. I need to think, what is it that God wants for me? What is it that God wants for my life? And so what we'll see is when Jonah cries out to God, God is his Savior, and He raises him up and brings him back to safety and security. So maybe God this morning would desire to raise you up from your circumstances, the way that your own decisions have led you, so that He can bring you to safety and security. God would have you to stop going your own way. Stop going your own way. And realize that when you run from God, there is always a price to pay. There is always a price to pay. There might be a physical price, there might be, but there's always a spiritual price when you run from God. And the only place a Christian who is rightly thinking with her head and with her heart, the only place that she should ever want to be is right where God wants her. This morning, can you honestly say that you are where God wants you? Not just physically, again, here in this building, but spiritually. Are you where God wants you to be? Because if you are not, there is a price that you will pay. When Jonah ran from God, he literally paid a price just to get in the boat. He paid a price to get in the boat. A great preacher from a couple generations ago, some of you all may know who Donald Gray Barnhouse was, a great preacher in Chicago. He said it like this. He said, it's always that way. When you run away from the Lord, you never get to where you are going. And you always pay your own fare. On the other hand, when you go the Lord's way, you always get to where you are going and He pays the fare. Let me read that one more time. When you run away from the Lord, you never get to where you are going, and you always pay your own fare. On the other hand, when you go the Lord's way, you always get to where you are going, and He pays the fare. So doing things your own way means paying the price yourself. But doing things God's way means that He will take care of the details for you along the way. God is going to work things out along the way, and He's going to take care of it. But if you're doing things in your own strength, your own way, and your own timing, you need to understand there's going to be a price that you yourself will pay. Some of you this morning, you may be struggling with a decision of some kind, maybe a relationship. Maybe you're struggling with a relationship at school or with a subject at school. Or maybe you have a difficult work environment. And there are times when it seems like it would just be better for me if I could do things my own way because, you know, going things God's way, I'm a little bit afraid of that, a little bit anxious. Don't know exactly where He's leading me. So you would make a decision for yourself to go your own way instead of listening to and obeying God's word. You will pay a price for doing so. But know this, that God is gracious and He can save you from your troubles even after you make a bad decision. So notice here, and we'll notice next week, that God pursues Jonah even after he made poor decisions, even when he was disobeying God. God still chased after him. God still gives grace even when we make bad decisions. Some of you all need to hear that this morning because you have made some bad decisions. And maybe you're wondering, am I too far away from God's grace? I mean, God surely would not give me mercy. But look at what He does here with Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God who received a direct word from the Lord, go and do this. He went the opposite direction, and God did not abandon him. God did not leave him. God chased after him. So know while you're hearing this morning, the Lord is pursuing you, and He would have mercy on you. He would show you grace, and He would show you kindness if you would simply repent and turn to Him in faith. Stop running from the Lord. Stop going your own way. Realize that that has not worked out so well. And God is sovereign over the events of His world, and He will use them to bring you back to Him. Others of you this morning find yourself in a predicament like Jonah. Like we're going to see with this man, he was confronted with his own sinful heart. The hardness of his heart toward other people. Maybe this morning you have a hard heart toward somebody, some group of people, people that you don't think deserve God's grace or don't deserve His mercy. It is far better for you this morning to hear a word of rebuke from the Lord than to keep going your own way. Hear the rebuke from God. Listen to His word. Let Him melt your heart because He does not mean you harm. God does not mean you harm. He wants to bring you back to Him. He wants to expose you for your own good. So believe this morning that He has made it possible for you to have His mercy through the obedient sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. You can come to Him through Jesus. Jonah did not obey perfectly. And I would say that everybody in this room could admit, right, that we do not obey God perfectly. Every one of us fails. Jonah failed, I fail, and you fail. But guess who did not? The Lord Jesus Christ did not fail. He was the obedient Son who fulfilled what we could not do so that we could live in joy in the presence of God forever. He obeyed perfectly. And as we trust in Him, God makes us righteous and makes us able to abide in His presence, to abide in His grace, and to have His mercy. Come to Him this morning. Stop running. Stop running. Thankfully, this morning, our God pursues us. He pursues us because He wants us to be in His presence. He wants us to be His children. He wants us to know His love. Can you say that this morning? That you honestly know the love of your God. That you have found Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or this morning, are you running from Him? God wants you to know this morning you can stop running and find His grace. The next words that we're going to see in our text next week are, but the Lord. Just about every time, I think, when we see anything like but God or but the Lord, God is about to do something very merciful. He's about to do something very good for His people. It might not seem like it at first, what He does for Jonah, but God sent a great storm upon the sea. Oh, that was the greatest thing that He could possibly do for that man that was running for Him. It was the greatest thing that He could possibly do for all the other sailors that were on board, because God is about to give grace to some people. He's about to show up in a mighty way. So know this morning that no matter what the events or the circumstances of your life are, they very well could be the very circumstances that God is using to draw you back to Him, to give you grace, to extend His mercy. Let's pray for that mercy and that grace as we conclude. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for this word that You have given to us from the book of Jonah. As we go through it, please open up our eyes for our continual need for grace and mercy. Lord, please lead us to celebrate Your sovereignty over everything. That should comfort the people here. The only person that we want ruling the universe is our God. Because You are good, You are just, and You are loving. Every person in this room, Lord, has a story. And every person in this room has circumstances right now that they are living through. Please use those to draw them back to You. We thank You for showing us in this story, this prophet Jonah running from You, God, that You desired to chase after him. And there are people in this room this morning, Lord, that You are chasing after them. Pursue them, God, and bring them back to You. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.